ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 28 पुरंजना बिकम्स अ वुमन इन द नेक्स्ट लाइफ टेक्स्ट 26 तम यज्ञ पशवो नेना सम्यप्ता ये दयालुना कूठारेश्चिच्छुदु क्रुद्धा स्मरन्तोमिव मस्यतत् तं यज्ञपशवो नेन संयक्त ये दयालुना कुठारैश्चिच्छुदु क्रुद्धा स्मरन्तोमिव मस्यतत् तम यज्ञ पशवो नेना सम्यप्ता ये दयालुना कुठारेश्चुच्छुदु क्रुद्धा स्मरन्तोमिव मस्यतत् तम यज्ञ पशवो नेना सम्यप्ता ये दयालुना कुठारैश्चिच्छिदु क्रुधा स्मरन्तोमिव मस्यतत् तम यज्ञ पशवो नेना सम्यप्ता ये दयालुना कुठारैश्चिच्छिदु क्रुधा स्मरन्तोमिव मस्यतत् तं यज्ञपशवो नेन सम्यप्ता ये दयालुना कुठारैश्चिच्छिदु क्रुद्धा स्मरन्तोमिव यस्यतत् तं यज्ञपशवो नेन सम्यप्ता ये दयालुना कुठारैश्चिच्छिदु क्रुधा स्मरन्तोमिव मस्यतत् तं यज्ञपशवो नेन सम्यप्ता ये दयालुना कुठारैश्चिच्छिदु क्रुधा स्मरन्तोमिव मस्यतत् तं हिम यज्ञपशवः दि सैक्रिफिशियल एनिमल्स अनेन बाय हिम सम्यप्ताः किल्ड ये ऑल ऑफ देम हु Adayaluna, by the most unkind, Kuthare, by axes, Chichidu, pierced to pieces, Krudhaha, being very angry, Smarantaha, remembering, Amivam, sinful activity, Asya of him, Tat, that, Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The most unkind king, Puranjana, had killed many animals in various sacrifices. Now, taking advantage of this opportunity, all these animals began to pierce him with their horns. It was as though he was being cut to pieces by axes. Purport. Those who are very enthusiastic about killing animals in the name of religion or for food must await similar punishment after death. The word mamsa, meat, indicates that those animals whom we kill will be given an opportunity to kill us. Although in actuality no living entity is killed, the pains of being pierced by the horns of animals will be experienced after death. Not knowing this, rascals unhesitatingly go on killing poor animals. So-called human civilization has opened many slaughterhouses for animals in the name of religion or food. Those who are a little religious kill animals in temples, mosques, or synagogues, and those who are more fallen maintain various slaughterhouses. Just as in civilized human society, the law is a life for a life. No living entity can encroach upon another living entity as far as the supreme Lord is concerned. Everyone should be given freedom to live at the cost of the supreme Father, I'll read it again. Everyone should be given freedom to live at the cost of the Supreme Father, and animal killing, either for religion or for food, is always condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, text 19, Lord Krishna says, Tanaham dushata kruran samsareshu naradhaman Kshipami ajasram ashubhan asurishu eva yonishu. Quote, those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. End quote. The animal killers, dvishataha, envying other living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are placed in darkness and cannot understand the theme and objective of life. This is further explained in the following verses. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shravasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare I requested Sriman Parameshwar Prabhu to do class, but he has to leave at 8 o'clock, so we are stuck with me. Yesterday's class was like a boost to our enthusiasm and boost to just the outlook of how we can serve Krishna by bringing our consciousness into the service realm. So I was, although personally was not here, I was online listening, and it was just very, very amazing to me. In the set of verses today, the mood changes in one sense, and you can see the purport also changes according to that mood. Yesterday was understanding how Krishna is the, as the super soul, is the dearmost friend of all living entities. And today Prabhupada takes a heavier mood. Because Puranjana, as he is being dragged out of the body, his karmic reactions are coming up, especially when he did pious activities. One of the pious activities that he has performed is that he has done many Vedic sacrifices. And Vedic sacrifices are recommended in the Bhagavad Gita and in our scriptures. Because by Vedic sacrifices, the demigods become pleased. When the demigods become pleased, they give forth rain. From rain comes grain, and all of the living entities on the earthly realm can sustain their life. Without grain, living entities cannot sustain themselves. How much ever technologically advanced one might be, at the end of the day, or at the middle of the day, or even beginning of the day, they need to eat something. And if they don't have anything to eat, like the other day we were saying, that nowadays we are manufacturing many chips, but the edible kind are reducing and the calculating kind are increasing. These are the chips we put in our computers. I have a faster chip. Oh, this is dual core. Yeah, this, now that's old fashioned. I believe there are some newer chips that are called, you know, that calculate not just parallelly but five times parallel processing. New chips, but that's not going to satisfy hunger. You cannot eat silicon chips. You have to have food for which the demigods have to set forth rain, for which Vedic sacrifices are a must. So he has performed very pious activities. But those pious sacrifices come at a cost. The cost is animals are sacrificed. So for the comfort of human society, these animals are sacrificed. Oh, and now he is getting the reactions for them. These animals that he had killed are now piercing him with their horns. And he's feeling like his body is being cut into pieces. Now this is the subtle body, because Prabhupada writes that happens after death. Because the whole sensation of pain and suffering is in the subtle body. It's in the mind. And as the subtle body is being taken from this gross body to the next gross body, it is subjected to reactions of previous karmic activities. And because he had sacrificed animals, although under all of the sanctions of the Vedas, he's still getting severe reactions for it. And these are not just ordinary reactions, they're very painful. So Prabhupada says, the word mamsa means that it's indicative that those animals that we kill or we participate or sanction in killing, then we also are allowing ourselves to be killed by those animals in our next life. In Sanskrit, the word mam means unto me. Saha means he, which means mam saha. The word meat is mam saha. Unto me as unto him. So in this life, since I cannot control the urge to taste the blood of another animal, I am sanctioning that I am killing this animal in this life with the understanding that in my next life, this animal has the opportunity to kill me. Mam saha. And actually, the act of killing an animal is sanctioned in the Vedas. It is sanctioned because the Vedas have to cover all humanity. They are not exclusive only for this section of human beings. The Vedas are for all human beings, and all human beings range from severely ghastly, angry, envious personalities to the highest form of saintly nature called the Paramahamsas. The Vedas cover something for everyone. Now, anyone who acts outside of the teachings of the Vedas is subject to extremely severe karmic punishment. It's very, very severe. That's the description in the Bhagavad Gita verse that we will discuss. So the Vedas don't give anyone any leeway to act outside of them. So they give concessions. And within that concession is the human being's upliftment. So according to the Vedas, the first principle is do not kill another animal for whatever reason. And then the concession, however, if you absolutely cannot, then do it like this. This is the authorized method. And do it like this is on such and such day, which is usually the new moon day, one has to take either a goat or some other animal, no cow, absolutely not allowed, to a Kali temple. Kali Devi represents the ghastly feature of the material energy. At her temple, a person who would like to eat meat has to look into the eye of the animal and whisper into the ear of that animal, Mamsaha, please allow me to kill you, and in return, you can kill me in my next life. Because I just cannot control my tongue. I am just urging. And while looking at the eye of the animal, looking into the eye of the animal, one is allowed to cut, knowing very well that his turn is coming up, next life. The idea is that as one does it, even there is a speck of intelligence, then he will ask himself, wait a minute, how many animals have I promised now? That means how many lifetimes am I supposed to be getting killed in the future? Maybe I shouldn't do this. Within that is the purification. However, fast forward into modern lifestyle, and what we have done is moved so far away from the Vedic paradigm that now we have massive slaughterhouses, far, far away that nobody can see. And all you see is a piece of meat packed that looks red and so inviting. I mean, not inviting for us, but for most people it is inviting. Ah, they don't consider where their food has come from. School children were asked, where does milk come from? You know what answer they gave? Comes from the supermarket. Because it is so far removed that they don't know what is the source of the food they're eating. It comes from a cow. Huh? Yeah. So like that, food has been so far removed from its source that most people don't know how that meat came on their plate. If you were to take them to the place or the slaughterhouse to show them, this is how your food gets on your table, most people will not eat it. It is too much to digest. The amount of violence that they have to witness is so significant that they cannot digest it anymore. So the most people who eat meat and who like meat will say, don't tell me how it got here. I don't want to know. So such persons should be educated, and Prabhupada is educating us that meat eating is or killing animals, either for eating or even in the name of animal sacrifices, is extremely, extremely hurtful. So one should not do it. In Kali Yuga, 5 activities are banned. Ashwamedham Gavalambam Pitra Pautra Palakai. It's Ashwamedham Gavalambam means killing of the cow in sacrifice, killing of a horse in sacrifice. So these two. Offering of meat to the ancestors. It's not allowed. Sannyasam. One should not take sannyas. And Devarena Sutotpattim. One should not have children through the brother-in-law. In the previous ages, these were allowed under very strict exceptions. So animal sacrifice, although sanctioned by the Vedas, in fact encouraged by the Vedas, should not be done. For a person, especially if they want to become God-conscious. If they don't want to become God-conscious and they want to have a better upgrade in lifestyle, then it comes at a price. And this is the price. Severe punishment. Like nothing comes for free. Most people who are working very hard for money, because with money comes an upgrade of lifestyle, it comes at a cost. The cost is they can't spend time with their families. They have to drive hours and hours trying to get to work and back. Or they have to come up with illegal means of earning that money. Or they cannot enjoy that money. The stress is too high. The competition is too intense. It comes at a price. And even if all of these were not the case, with the money, they become extremely envious. Because wealth brings pride. And with pride comes violence. So there's a cost, there's a price associated with it. And King Puranjana, being very pious, still paying the price for it. So Prabhupada said, those who are a little religious might kill the animals in temples and mosques and synagogues, but still one should not do it. This whole idea of our civilization that is heavy into slaughterhouses is extremely dangerous. Prabhupada writes in the first canto that the more slaughterhouses there will be, the more there will be wars on the planet. Because there is a word here which is important. Adayaluna, very unkind. So I'd like to take our attention to 10th canto, first chapter, text number 4. So the setting of the first canto, 10th canto, first chapter of Bhagavatam is Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukadeva Goswami, you have described all the lineage, all the wonderful personalities who came in the lineage of the sun god. You also described all the great personalities who came in the lineage of the moon god. Now, can you describe the wonderful activities of Krishna? Can you describe Krishna's appearance in this world? Can you describe the glorious activities that he performed while on this planet? And then, interestingly, he quotes this verse. It's a nice verse to learn because it comes to our help. Nivritta tashyer upagiyamanat bhavaushada shotra manobhiramat ka uttamashloka gunanuvadat puman virajyeta vina pashugnat. So here, in today's verse, it says, Yagya Pashavo Anena. He killed many animals on the sacrificial altar. And in this verse, it says, Pashugnat. Pashugna means to kill an animal. So, Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukadeva Goswami, or saying, glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in false, temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease such hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Bhava aushadha. Bhava aushadha means the remedy to repeated birth and death. What brings about repeated birth and death is good activities within this world. Helping someone else, helping the old lady cross the street, planting trees, serving food to others, doing the good deed for the day, etc. These are nice, but these are not spiritual activities. These bring us another body. Maybe human body, maybe a higher, more refined body, but they bring us a body. And it is called bhava. Bhava means to happen again. Or the worst is terrible activities that bring us really terrible bodies. Violence, harm unto others, insulting others, blaspheming others, hurting others. All of these give us activities or bodies that are worse than now. That is also called bhava. So whether it is a good situation or a bad situation, from the Vedic perspective, both are bad. Like Prabhupada would say, what is the argument between what is preferable, dry stool or wet stool? Both are stool. You cannot say, no, wet stool is better because it is fresh. Dry is scaly and hard. And stool is stool. No argument. So like that, the Vedas describe that whether pious activities or impious activities, wet stool, dry stool, both are stool. Try to perform activities by which bhava aushadha, the remedy to such repeated birth and death. So what is that remedy? Can I take any medicine and that's the remedy? No. He says, shrotra mano abhiramat. That remedy is that which is pleasing to the heart. Abhiramat means extremely pleasing. And that is, that medicine is taken from the ear. It's not an oral medicine. It's not an intravenous medicine. It's an oral medicine. Shrotra mana abhiramat. And what is that? Uttama shloka guna anuvadat. Guna anuvadat, meaning from describing the activities. Of who? Uttama shloka. Of Krishna, who is glorified in transcendental choice poetry. That is the medicine for bhava. That is the medicine for repeated birth and death. And Parikshit Maharaj is saying, who is a fool who will not take it? And the only fool is Pashugnath, a butcher or a killer of the soul. A killer of the soul means one who is not interested in a life of transcendence. This butcher tendency comes, Prabhupada describes, from envy. The idea of eating meat is an expression of envy. As long as that poison of envy continues, or is there and is nourished, one cannot access transcendence. One cannot access the gift that is being given by a pure devotee. Therefore, the first thing is to discontinue eating meat on the gross platform. Prabhupada was so heavy on no meat eating. It's not that a vegetarian lifestyle brings about spiritual lifestyle. That's not the idea. It's that minimally the no meat eating protects one from further destroying himself, because it creates or it nourishes envy and poison in one's heart. That poison is, I don't care. For my satisfaction, I will kill any animal. In fact, I want to taste different animals just to see how they taste. This is serious envy. And that envy says, for my living or for my enjoyment, another living entity has no right to live. This is called encroaching upon the rights of another living entity. This is severely damaging. Besides the point that, you know, carnivorous life is not suitable for the human physiognomy and all that, that's nice. And we can go into a whole class on vegetarianism. That's not my intent. I don't want to dilute the mood in which Prabhupada's talking about. Prabhupada's not cheering for vegetarianism. Prabhupada's cheering for stop animal killing, because it is hurtful. It is envious. It is poisonous. It is hurting our own self. How is it hurting our own self? That it does not allow us to take the sweet glorification of Krishna, which is the only remedy for stopping repeated birth and death. It covers the heart completely to such a degree that one will not even consider an alternative style of living. One will not even consider that there can be food without another animal on the plate. Unfortunately, today's lifestyle has become such that most people start the day with an animal on their plate, their lunch is another animal on their plate, their dinner is another animal on their plate. And not only that, every other product that they have has something to do with an animal. The belt, the wallet, the shoes, they're all animal products. The nice, smooth, creamy ice cream has animal products, gelatin. I'm just giving a range of things, you know, the cheese products. Although it's milk, it has rennet and other things in it as animal product. The glossy, shining cosmetics, the beautiful reddish lipstick and other cosmetics have gelatin in them. That means we're using the cow in a completely different manner. The cow is supposed to give all the necessary ingredients for a Vedic lifestyle. Milk, yogurt, butter, ghee, cow dung, cow urine, its presence in the house. Instead of that, everything else is being derived from the cow. And so when the lifestyle moves out so far from the Vedic paradigm, then that's why we see so many disturbances within society. They're all connected. We're not living in a disconnected system. We're living in a highly sensitive, interactive system. In mathematics, there is a term called interaction. Interaction means that there is, for a few minutes, let's get into multivariate phenomena. Multivariate means that there is one phenomena and it is dependent on multiple factors or variables. For example, in today's case, the price of milk is dependent on the number of cows on the planet and the supply of milk from these cows. What else is it dependent on? Huh? Price of grain. Very good. Fodder. So the unfortunately, gas prices. When gas prices go up, food prices go up because they have to be transported. So like this, there are at least three variables, many other variables, environmental factors and all that. So in a multivariate, you cannot just say because the price of grain has grown up, we have to understand how that will interact with the number of cows on the planet or within that. So these variables interact with each other. So you tinker with one, naturally the price of milk changes, but the other variables also get affected. This is called interactive. So we are living in a highly connected, interactive system. These are called the laws of karma. We mess around with one, and we see severe drought happening. Huh? What's the connection? Where's the connection? We see wars proliferating on the planet. People becoming very agitated, upset, fighting with each other, protesting for everything. This is all connected to slaughterhouse communities, slaughterhouse lifestyles. Because the Vedic lifestyle is one of peace, and peace minimally means live and let live. Even among the community of devotees, live and let live is a very wonderful paradigm. Live and let live means there is something happening and it is very disturbing to me. That is between them and Krishna. I don't have to be the big boss, take a sledgehammer and fix people. Unless it's my service to do so. And such a person is called Guru. And he can take care of things on behalf of Krishna. He has the sledgehammer. He can take care of things. Everyone else is not given that service to fix others. The only paradigm of live and let live does not apply in the sense of let people harm themselves. That is not allowed. Because that is not living, that is killing oneself. Live and let live means to give people real life. That is living. But right now what's happening is people are dying or killing themselves. In this context, by animal slaughter. By a very, very harmful lifestyle. And interestingly, it begins with diet. Taramadhi jivati lobhamaya. Simply out of greed, that the tongue can wag so voraciously that a person will do anything to satisfy the tongue. And it doesn't matter which animal he has to kill, what variety of animal he has to kill. It just doesn't matter. Because the tongue wags uncontrollably because the heart is filled with envy. Have you seen a snake? Snake is considered to be the most envious animal. How does a snake live? Whole time the tongue comes out. It's the envy in the heart. The tongue is voracious. And one eats out of greed. And that is very hurtful to them and to others. Therefore, we are not vegetarians. We are not champions of vegetarianism. The Hare Krishnas are not the champions of vegetarianism. The Hare Krishnas are champions of Krishna Prasadam. We don't care for vegetarianism. Because vegetarians can also be extremely envious. Less to a degree, but it's still there. We are champions of Krishna Prasadam because it is that Krishna Prasadam which is the Bhavaushada. It is the remedy to repeated birth and death. And we glorify Premedako Chaitanya Nitai. We will glorify because here it says Uttama Shloka Gunanubadat. By glorifying Krishna for giving us prasadam that quells the heart, that completely satisfies the heart and the tongue and the mind, such that one will not do activities that are harmful for one's own self. Suicidal. The suicidal tendency is that I am acting in a way that is harmful to myself and to others because I have absolutely no idea that I am doing so. It's called being a zombie. We are zombied by the material energy to such a degree that nobody even considers. Nobody considers what is the consequence of my action on my own life and if they're a little selfless on others. Even if a person considers what is the consequence of my actions on myself, that's a great step. And that will not come until meat eating is stopped. Because meat eating encourages the envy in the heart. Because the opposite of envy is mercy. Therefore we say no meat eating as a policy to practice being merciful unto others. Ourselves and others. Live and let live. Puman Virajyeta. Virajyeta is how he can keep himself aloof from the contaminating feature of the material energy unless he hears about Krishna. So, King Puranjana is paying very heavily for being pious. He's paying severely for being a good man. So we are not meant to be good or bad men. We're meant to be devotees of God. We're meant to be devotees of Krishna. That is the absolute good. Everything else is wet stool or dry stool. Any comments or questions? Rakthak, isn't there a mic for you?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. If you, like prior to practicing devotional service, if you indulged either directly or indirectly in animal slaughter, and then you take up Krishna consciousness, what will be the result?
In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that for one who understands the relationship between the self and the Supreme, all his karmic activities are burnt to ashes by the process of devotional service. In the Brahma Samhita, a similar explanation is given. Karmani nirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam. Nirdahati means completely burns away all karmic reactions by the process of devotional service.
What if you have a fall? What if you were practicing devotional service and then you were a devotee and then you had a fall down?
Well, if such a case, then the loss is already that the relationship with Krishna has been hurt. So that's already the loss. Then what is important is what one does when that happens. Usually people become morose and really pessimistic about life. But the trick is to get up and move forward again with full determination. Krishna accepts such a person. Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamanan nivhak. Krishna says, sadhureva, I consider a person who on the path to devotional life commits something really terrible. Apichet sudurachara. But if he somehow reconnects himself, then Krishna says, I consider him a sadhu.
Thank you.
If Krishna considers him a sadhu, then one is a sadhu.
Thank you.
So the thing is, the secret is, falls and mistakes and offenses, they will continue because we are products of material energy. To not get bogged down, to somehow or the other brush it, fix ourselves back at the lotus feet of Sri Guru and the Guru Parampara and our service to Krishna. Keep it going. Someone else had raised their hand before Jitendra Prabhu. Okay. Let Jitendra Prabhu speak and then.
I thought I heard Srila Prabhupada say if my disciple goes back to eating meat, he's pretty much lost in this life.
Yeah.
And is it also that this meat eating or butcher culture is going on due to a brute mentality? Yeah, I called it a brute mentality. But just things that kind of popped up.
Prahlad Narasimha and then Richard Prabhu. I'm getting your mic.
The thing is, when Srila Prabhupada was talking to people in general, he wouldn't go up beyond the the meat eating thing. I don't know if you remember that, but he would say, they would kind of interject and say, well, okay, we kind of understand a little about the meat-eating thing, but let's go on to something a little more lofty or something. And Prabhupada says, no, you know, you must start here, and then we'll go forward, but, you know.
Right. Anyways. There are people who speak high philosophy and then go out and have a burger. So what happened to all that philosophy? Yes, Prahlad Narasimha.
I have two things. One is a question. I'll ask the question first.
Speak into the mic, please.
You said in the class, you said that there are four things in Kali Yuga, five things you shouldn't do. And one is not to be a sannyasi. But now there are sannyasis all over the world.
Correct.
Not just ISKCON, but all other things too.
Correct. So why?
Yeah.
So, most people, what that describes is the kind of sannyas is rejecting their duties and just going into the forests. In the previous ages, that kind of sannyas was okay. In Kali Yuga, that's not okay because the heart's not fully purified. People don't have the strength to purify themselves in the forests. Because why? There are no forests. So you cannot purify yourself. The only reason Kali Yuga allows sannyas is for preaching Krishna consciousness. So once a sannyasi who doesn't preach Krishna consciousness actively cannot maintain sannyas. So one should preach heavily, like vigorously. Travel and preach and engage in that service, then one can maintain sannyas. Otherwise it becomes painful. Is that right?
Yeah, thank you. Another was a comment. One day you should do the documentary Fooding. It's good.
Okay.
I watched it. And it was like, it's intense. Because they show the slaughterhouse, how they kill it.
Food Inc. is a good movie, but it does not... it does not encourage vegetarianism.
Yeah, that's the only problem.
It encourages someone to eat organic meat.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea. However, you can extract from it the idea that because they show you pictures of, you know, the severe way the animals are hung upside down and cut and all that. Yeah. Which way I should tell something in class. So, which thank you for reminding me.
Okay.
There's one friend of ours, very nice man, who's a practitioner in the Shivananda Yoga Center. And he comes here regularly. He likes to come, be with the devotees. He likes to chanting. So generally spiritually inclined. And he described the work environment he was in. He's very good with some things that he does, and he works in restaurants. And so he said nowadays the fashion is to have parties in the kitchen of the restaurants. So while he was working, the guests will come with their wine glasses or whatever they're drinking, and they're looking at all the cooks and chefs working. And so now the kitchens become the place of partying. So his work area was right here. It was a big loudspeaker with jarring thump, thump, thump music from morning till night. Or the parties would go into late into night. So while he was working, he had to hear this thump music from right here. Thump, thump, thump. And people would be drinking alcohol. And to create the ambience for the party, they would, this particular restaurant imported a hog from Spain. It was cut open and hung like that. And the whole kitchen was smelling, different parts of bodies of different animals hanging, dripping, and people would be taking pictures, standing next to that carcass, taking pictures, and that's their entertainment. Pashubhnath, very severe. See how different our human mentality works. The same thing, just for the sake of argument and discussion, the same pictures, though not to that extent, when they were done in the prison in Iraq, I forget the name of the... Abu Ghraib. Abu Ghraib, I guess. Yeah. They had all these prisoners, and they took pictures with them, and the prisoners were, you know, hung upside down, bent over backwards or something, and they took pictures. And that became such a big international human rights violation situation. But a person can stand next to a upside down hung pig and take pictures, and they put it on their Facebook. Hey, great one. What hypocrisy, man. It's terrible. They will eat the cow, they'll pet their dog. But if you have to, you know, if someone cooks their dog, ooh, violation. How can you kill a dog? Hey, how can you kill a cow? How can you kill a chicken for that matter? So chicken's okay, dog's not okay? So some person really foolish will say, oh, chicken's okay, dog's okay too. No, the answer is neither is okay. Human beings, normal. Animals, all right. Even Peter, I'm heavy on this. Peter doesn't say, don't kill animals. It says, be humane when you're killing them. What is humane when you kill them? Doesn't make any sense. It just does not make any sense. Richard Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You mentioned a correlation between envy and greed today. Mm. And... So I was wondering, if we have a lot of envy in our hearts or in our consciousness, then that envy maybe could be subdued and then eventually burned away through devotional service. But if we feed either our envy or our greed, it seems like the constituent will poke its head up. I'm trying to ask this question as simple as possible, is that... let's say that I'm just wondering if I know myself, for instance, it seems like if I'm greedy, that I'll notice my envy starts poking up. I think I'm noticing this correlation, and I'm wondering if that envy can be quelled by devotional service until it's burnt away, or if it's just something you have to deal with until it's completely burned away.
The envy towards another living entity has a primordial source. And that source is that one is envious of Krishna. Raga dvesha vimukta istu. Raga Dvesha, Dva Esha means two masters, two controllers. There cannot be two. There only has to be one controller, Krishna. Dvesha means second controller, two. We are vying for the same position. Raga Dvesha. So raga means a severe attraction to enjoy energies, Krishna's energies. And to severely enjoy that, there has to be this position of being God. And so why is he God? Why not me? This is the primordial source of material existence, or primordial cause of material existence. And that manifests as envy towards other living entities. So the real problem to solve is to fix our relationship with Krishna, which is what devotional service means. I'm a servant of God and he is the master. So my activities are all in service. He is the real enjoyer. Until that consciousness is fixed, envy towards other living entities will not go. It will come up in different ways. On the gross level, one may stop eating meat because one has understood it. But the subtler levels will be fault-finding, difficulties with others. They're all coming because one has a problem with Krishna. When Ravana had 10 heads, Ravana is the personification of lust, right? And Lord Ramachandra was cutting off one head after another. And what was happening? Another head showed up as soon as it was cut off. So Lord Ramachandra got exasperated. What's going on? I've just been cutting off this fellow's heads one after the other, and new heads are appearing. So Vibhishana says he has a benediction, that he has nectar hidden in his heart. Unless his heart is pierced, he will not die. So the teaching is, Lord Ramachandra pierced Ravana's heart, because lust is in the heart. You cut just the external manifestations of it and it grows again. So what needs to be cured is the heart. So Ravana died when his heart was pierced. So this primordial cause is envy towards Krishna. It is eradicated by Krishna's mercy. The medium is devotional service. I'm speaking like this because I've been considering myself, what are the things that I'm doing that is severely pashugnat? Pashugnat means I'm acting against my own interest. Right? This is what I've been thinking about. And this happens that this is the verse. It happens that this is the verse. I've been thinking about how am I acting against my own self-interest. And this is the verse that appears this morning. So I'm a little emphatic for myself. Dvijamani Gaur Prabhu.
Prabhu, you mentioned about, actually what I was going to ask is exactly the last comment you made, that sometimes our envy or towards others might not be on such a gross platform, but because we live in a community of devotees, people are very tuned in and sensitive to certain vibrations. So if, sometimes it feels like everything we might be doing is offensive to others. So we're thinking, how can I correct myself? Just bear with it and go through it and understand that, I'm pretty much just being offensive. If the way I look or speak to a devotee even, if it's very subtle. So there's also sometimes the mentality that maybe I just need to separate myself for a long time, just like renounce.
That is called self-envy. So, if the community of devotees is such that every time I look at someone and someone gets disturbed, that's not my fault. However, my first place to look at is, am I putting out something out there that is so smelly and offensive that everyone wants to run away? Am I carrying such energy? Am I carrying this, here I come? Am I carrying that? Or what are my intents? Am I carrying, you know, a very well-intentioned mood of service? It's just that I'm being misunderstood. Whatever it is, first place to look is here. After an honest, thorough search here, then it can be, well, I've tried my best. Let Krishna now solve this in whatever way he liked to solve. But if that thinking takes us to, maybe I need to separate myself from the community of devotees, that's a dangerous sign. Our growth doesn't come outside of the community of devotees. Our growth and purification comes in the community of devotees. However it might be, painful or they don't like me, whatever it is, outside there is no purification. It's only lost land. This is how Maya works. Maya, because the whole process of Krishna consciousness under Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sankirtan. That means community, together. Hearing and chanting together. The trick of Maya is to isolate one devotee at a time. One by one. And when one gets isolated, grabbed. Next one. So the whole Kali and Maya, they work in this particular way in Kali Yuga, that for no reason they bring strife between two devotees or two persons. That's how Kali works. Quarrel. For no reason. You took my dhoti. Such simple things too. And the process of Sankirtan is to remove that. So we don't walk away. We don't isolate. We discuss with the devotees, this is my difficulty. This is how I'm feeling. What's going on? Help me. How can I serve? Make it open discussions. Speak to each other. This is bothering me. That is bothering me. How can I serve you? What's wrong? What have I done? What have I said? Can you help me how I can improve? And we should tell each other. It's important. Then we learn. This kind of, you know, uncomfortable discussions among devotees is much better than a very comfortable lifestyle outside the community of devotees. That's hellish. Because from there, one goes away. Whatever it is, let it happen here. Whoa, this is sparking so much of conversation. Balaram Prabhu and then Matthew. I mean, it's 8:40. I'm notorious. We actually don't, but since you want to say something. Is it a question or a comment?
It's a question, but I can invite.
Then maybe we can speak after class. Is that all right? Because I'm...
But it's kind of... It's kind
of... Go ahead.
Is this on?
Well, you were mentioning, you know, about the different animal products that are in these so-called foods that...
Okay, you're mentioning that are actually actual products that are byproducts of the slaughterhouse civilization that are in our products that we use.
Right.
So, I just wanted to ask you a question about this. A lot of times, we see devotees using products that have this in it. For instance, soap. I don't know if you know, soap has, it's all from the fat of slaughtered animals. A lot of the modern-day soap and toothpaste and all these things. And also we see like devotees wearing leather and these things like this. But is it okay to wear this for Krishna's service?
No.
No. Or do you see, it's not okay to use any of this for Krishna's service? Is it?
In many cases it may just be lack of awareness. At the same time we have to be careful about Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means too attached to rules and regulations. For example, milk. This is a famous thing. Now milk has vitamin D added, D3, which is fish oil or something. So one might say, what to do? I can't use white sugar, I can't use milk, I can't... So I'm going to go 20 miles away to get some milk, and I'm going to spend so much time and energy and get something else that it's going to affect my hearing and chanting. That's something we have to weigh. So for us, hearing and chanting stands more important than everything else. Okay? This is Kali Yuga. One time, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj was asked, Maharaj, milk is all like this, sugar is like this. He said, how many things can you bring that are pure? Can you tell me? You can't even buy rice that is pure. It's all genetically modified. Every vegetable is modified. Even the name organic doesn't mean anything. It's a farce. You know what? If you look at USDA's definition of organic, it just doesn't mean anything. Because that definition of organic is so... I spent years in doing organic, natural, and conventionally done food. This is part of my job. And years I developed a product. I was very successful, all that. If you look at the USDA definition of organic, it's a joke. Very loose definition. But we think, organic is pure. No. So, Maharaj said, how will you solve this? So you do whatever is needful, be simple, so that it doesn't disturb your hearing and chanting. Everything we breathe also is genetically modified. Nowadays, babies are also genetically modified. Right? You have genetically modified babies. You can tinker with their genes so you have blue. I want a blue-eyed baby. Sure. Would you like pink instead? Oh, sure. You can do anything. You can make them look. This is the whole idea of stem cell research. You can fix before gestation, you can fix deformities, you can fix things. So every baby that pops out will be perfect. Do you understand karmic? Go ahead. It's a nice discussion, but that is time.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol, Matthew.
I read somewhere that if people stop slaughtering animals, that they'd be able to save the grains that they're feeding the animals.
Correct.
And they'd be able to cut down on world hunger, because
Correct.
I've heard that there's a lot of food shortages in the United States as well as other countries.
Correct. That's correct. There is a book that our devotees have written called Divine Nature. I didn't go, like I said, I did not intentionally make this a class on vegetarianism. Had I? Then you can look at the advantages of vegetarian lifestyle from a sociological perspective, from an economic perspective, from a biological perspective. There are two more factors. The economics of cattle farming are like the worst efficiencies that you can ever think of. The worst. Oh, by the way, did you know, I only came to know about 3 years ago, that the highest source of carbon that depletes the ozone layer is from?
Doesn't the source of energy that's coming from to refrigerate the meat too, that also plays a part too? Right?
Yeah, but the people say it's because of automobiles. It's because of emissions from automobiles. Not true. The highest carbon footprint is from slaughterhouses. It's the gases that are emanating from all the millions of tons of dung and the millions of tons of carcass. The greenhouse gases emissions are the largest. Anyway, just to purify our consciousness, we will read Bhagavatam, that verse, before we ended up with greenhouse gases. I don't like that. I'd rather end with something that Nivrittatasya upagiyamanat bhavaushadat shotra manobhiramat kautama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajyeta vina pashugnat. 10th canto, 1st chapter, text number 4. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.